three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. Joseph here. I'm joined by my host, Andrew Canyon. We're going to jump straight into this episode. Andrew, we've got White Men Can't Jump. We've got round, 17? Looking forward to round 18. But Andrew, say hello.
Hello, everybody. It feels like we just talked, but it's been another week. Exciting NBL basketball action.
This was a crazy round. This is one of the better rounds of this year as far as every team coming to the fore. Even the bad games were kind of close. It was good stuff. Let's jump straight into this one. White Men Can't Jump. 30 years ago in 1992, this film came out. You're a fan. I'm a fan. We talk about it often.
It's making me feel reaction? It makes me feel so old because I remember sneaking into a cinema to like buying a ticket to see it once and then sort of just hanging out in the after the area where you check in your ticket to watch it again. Mm. Me and my scaly mates, teenagers, hanging around in the cinema.
Can I ask, what was the marketing? Was it a big film coming out? Was it a blockbuster like, say, Batman? Or probably not quite Batman, but close?
It's hard to say because it was all pre-internet, right? So the marketing, it was such a different era. I don't know. It was just every kid at school knew about this movie coming out. I think it was the whole Michael Jordan era. VHS NBA tapes being passed around. Everybody was into basketball. And for a whole movie to come out just based on street ball, which was like legendary. US street ball was just this legendary concept for an Australian kid at that time with no connection. So it was like, God, this is going to be amazing. And then the fact that there was so much shit talk in it for a teenager was just like, oh, I can't keep up. This is so much good material.
This is what's funny is it was very much a film of my – because I was younger than you. I'm born 87, so it came out when I was 5. So this was a film that people caught – and my generation caught on television. It was a Channel 10 Friday night thing. And the funny thing was every kid knew this film, my generation, so that's 12-year-olds. And this had so much cussing in it. It has a sex scene. I think I saw my first breast in this film. Rosie Perez goes topless. Amazing film, and it just – sports was never – I think feel like this cast a shadow over sports where people and kids didn't really care about the end result. They cared about either looking good or looking bad, then winning, or just talking shit the whole time.
There was so, – all I know like, – so I was older than you because I'm an old man, right? So I would have been – what's 30 years ago from now? So I would have been 14. 14, right? Wow. It's prime age for this kind of stuff where you go and you watch it and then you head out to the local basketball court and you're just – absolutely giving it, using the lines like crazy on the guy next to you, just absolutely talking trash.
Great film.
You'd just be out there for hours on end, just like, talking about got to be careful of the breeze, pushing a little 6, 7, or 8 inches to the left,
Yeah, really good
so
film.
So good.
And what's funny is it's probably one of the better Los Angeles films. I've only been there once or twice, and it's grimy in that film, and I went there 20 some years later. Nothing has changed. It's a dreadful place, but that film totally encapsulated it.
I went back yesterday, actually, and I did a quick turbo watch of the movie. So I just basically watched the basketball scenes and fast-forwarded all the other bits and pieces just to sort of get back in the vibe and reminisce. Mm. And we should say, because this was brought to our attention by a friend of the show, Adam Westerhin.
Yeah. The Hoot. I call him the Owl.
Hoot! So he talked to us about White Men Can't Jump. And one of the questions that he put to us, I don't know if you've got the recording to play or whether I just describe it, let you make that mark. So, yeah, he talked about who would we be as teams?
Great question.
Really interesting question. So I was trying to pick it through because I couldn't remember the teams, right? So I was skipping through trying to find the which team do I think represents NBL Pocket Pod.
Yeah.
I think I found it. But before I go to that, I just want to say there was a Mark Bradke lookalike guy in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Big white guy with a mullet, and it was total big, Mark Bradke.
Big corn dog Mooey, that guy.
I was like, he looked like he came from the present day. Like, wow, 30 years, yeah. And he's ready to slip back in with that hairstyle. But anyway.
Can I preempt who I think you're going to say?
Okay, sure.
All right. It's not Spike and Willie, the team they fight at the International Brotherhood Tournament for integrity between us all or whatever, brotherhood between us all. It's not Spike and Willie. It may be the guy with the hat on who nothing but chicken wing on a string.
Wearing the Jordan shirt,
The guy who constantly wanted to go to Sizzler. Could be them. I mean, geez. It's not going to be King and Duck. By the way, segue. King and Duck, one of the pair of King and Duck, one of them is Louis Jordan or Louis Johnson, who's an amazing singer and actually sings on the soundtrack. And the other guy used to play NBA and then became homeless after the film.
Wow.
Became a drug addict. And I forget his name now, but people can look it up. So King and Duck, one of the two there. I forget who he is. But yeah, he's now, I think maybe dead now, but was homeless shortly after the film. Just spent all his NBA money. No, I don't know who.
Okay. Which couple? Well, I actually you dismissed the team. I went with Flight, I think it is, not Spike, but I think it's Flight. Anyway,
Team Flight.
Flight and Willie. That's who I chose.
It's Flight. I thought it was Spike.
Yeah, because Flight's like the guy. He's dunking on everybody. And the reason I went with those two is because basically they are the embodiment of us. Because basically they've got people talking shit to them. Sorry, excuse my language. Talking rubbish to them all the time, right? And we get people talking rubbish to us all the time, which will probably get talked about later on in this podcast. Mm-hmm. They had Billy Hoyle talking trash. Mm. We get other people talking trash to us. And then at the same time, our games replicate. So, you know, I like to paint myself as Flight, you know, dunking on people in the day. But then Joe, your Willie, just looking good on the perimeter, just hitting all the shots, passing the ball.
I want to go one further.
Okay.
If there was an International Brotherhood tournament between NBL podcasters, I actually think we'd do quite well. I worry about the overtime team. I think Liam's got good stuff. I think Cam Luke would surprise. I think he's got touch.
You think so? Okay.
Corey, I just back off him. I'd say, I saw you play NBL. You can shoot from the outside.
Don't let him drive the hoop. He's still got some beef on him, so you don't want him driving the hoop. But yeah, give him that shot.
He'd be a handful. He'd be a big handful, and I worry about endurance. And Liam would have something still, I'm sure. So they'd be tough. NBL News, I'm calling you out. I think they're a bit young. I think we'd monster them.
Yeah. We'd use our old man strength against those young fellas. Yeah.
First play out, bang, elbow to the solar plexus. Sorry, Jackson, had to happen. And then I really can't think of who else does one.
What about the – well, there's the
– oh, man, throwback hoops.
That. See, they'd be confused because they wouldn't know whether they're playing NBA rules, NBL rules. They'd be all over the shop.
Also,
Woody just would talk some smack, though. He would.
Woody would not stop. Also, the thing that might catch them out is if they, for some reason, didn't get the dress code and wore all their throwback jerseys at the same time, and then they just collapse under the weight of it.
Like Michelin men.
I worry about Woody's speed. I worry about Rob from the outside. I've heard rumors.
Okay.
I've heard rumors. So.
And then the only other ones, you know, come to mind are the sports blokes. But I don't know. I feel like they would just like stop playing basketball halfway through and take up cricket.
Too nice. Yeah, too nice. Sorry, sports blokes. So that would be fun. That'd be a fun thing. Let's jump on. Let's talk about NBL.
All right. Not, this is not as good as White Men Can't Jump, but we'll have to do
it. No. Okay. One question I have for people listening out there who are younger than the film or quite young, is this film still relevant? Do people still dust this off and watch it? It looks like does it still hold up? And get to me at Twitter, at NBL Pocket Pod, and at Andrew Canyon. Let's take it to the tweets, kind of. Well, let's play the sting.
Tweets.
What's interesting is... we got tweeted.
I don't know if you say we, maybe you.
The podcast. Yeah, the at NBL podcast.
All right.
Chase Buford.
He did.
Didn't care for this.
Read it out.
I actually don't have it in front of me, but I know the gist of it. So essentially in the presser, Chase Buford, we think, went at someone in the crowd of the Wildcats, guy wearing a red suit, biggish fellow, fattish you might say, and said he needs to lose a few pounds in the presser. What's lucky is nothing's happened. I don't think he's going to get sanctioned for that, and I don't think he should. It was all in good fun. I don't know if the other guy saw it that way. But then I quoted that and thought, oh, that's kind of funny in the spirit of White Men Can't Jump. A bit of trash.
Yep.
And then he got back to me and he said, I don't think Perth, I don't think Sydney can win in Perth, he replied. And then with the clown emoji, call me a clown.
Called you a clown. There was no doubt about that. Called us a clown. And in fact, as a clown, yeah. You're a clown. Yes. I don't know. We're all clowns.
I think he just threw like a plume of chalk, just threw it up in the air at everyone. It's true. I said I didn't think Sydney were going to win in Perth. We'll talk about that some more later. But
we were in violent agreement. Neither of us thought they would win in Perth.
Not like certainly not in that dramatic a fashion. And I guess I kind of like it. And even in his press conference, Buford's like, I love basketball. I love giving the back and forth, but I'm going to go back. So do we double down on this? Because Buford to me, now we're getting white men. Buford to me, I'm going to just start calling him frat boy. He just looks like frat boy. And Chase is such an American name. Like we could call him Chet Brentford, yeah. You know?
He should have a popped collar. You know, he's wearing the Yves Saint Laurent, you know, polo.
This guy looks like the bad guy in like Animal House. He'd be the jock frat house. It's kind of like the nerds are stealing their thing. And he's like, and he's friendly with the dean.
Yeah.
And his old man is something special. He's a frat boy. So here's what I'd say to Chase Buford. Chase, Chance, whatever it is. I'll do you a bet. I'll bet $1,000. This is a totally legitimate. I bet Buford, if you like to go back and forth, how about this? I'll bet you $1,000, right? Which is
$1,000.
Right. Wow. I got $1,000.
Wow, okay.
$1,000 that Sydney don't win the title. I'll stack the deck a bit. I'll take the field. But what? Does Sydney want them in South Melbourne? No, they can't bet on another team. So, Chase, I'll bet $1,000 that I'll take the field, you take your team. We'll do it in secret. I don't think you can bet on games, but, you know, this is very, like, you know, this is what happens in those frat boy movies.
You're just going to throw the cash on the court, right? And just everybody accepts.
What's this? I got to check in my undies. And one more. Let's say I lose. I swear to God, and this is very frat boy, like, you know how it's always like, you know, I bet Chase Buford's got a nickname like Squirrel from where he put a hamster up his ass. I will take the money. I will write a check for $1,000. I will place it in an envelope. I'll place that envelope in between my buttocks. And I will walk backward into his office, place it on the desk. I'll say, thank you very much, sir. Apologies for discrediting your team. And I'll walk out. If he loses the bet, he's got to bring me the $1,000. I'd take him to my second favorite pub because I wouldn't want him at my first favorite pub in case he liked the ambience and wanted to come back. And I don't want to see this guy's face in there. And just hands me the envelope. I won't make a fanfare. It'll be a secret bet. I'll take it. I'll say, thank you very much. Now fuck off. Get that. And that's it. That's all I want to do. That's the bet. It's only $1,000. If you need to borrow some money, I think Paul Smith's got about $250 million, Bogut about the same. His old man's pretty wealthy. Tap them on the shoulder. Very happy to do it. There you go.
Wow.
White man.
I am jumping on the Sydney Kings bandwagon at this point because I want that bet to come off.
You think they're going to win it? Well, there are definitely a chance.
Well, I want them to now, given those terms and conditions.
I'll do it. I'm a man of my word.
I think they're a very good team. I think they're favourites at the moment, but I'm still not giving them pure favouritism overall at this point. They're the hot team, no doubt about it.
If they finish one, we'll come back to this. Let's stay with the tweets. Paul Smith, staying with the Kings, has put out – I actually really agree with Paul Smith on this one.
Okay.
About the loophole with John Brown. I don't have the tweet in front of me. I'll just paraphrase it. But essentially it was the 7 days that – for people that don't know, John Brown, you have to play at least 7 games. That has elapsed for the Wildcats. They're going to maybe – this was all talked about on NBL Overtime. Great show. Go and watch it.
Yep.
That perhaps the Wildcats will file some sort of injunction and say, oh, we wanted to, but this Russian club didn't play nice. We're in the middle of a war. Pretty strong case. But Paul Smith, I think, said it best, where the 7 games are there as for everyone. That's the rule. That's what's fair. If you wanted to make a move, do it before. I agree with him. I don't think the Wildcats have a leg to stand on in any appeal of signing John Brown. What do you think?
Yeah, I can't imagine it getting through. I think it's just too unfair to everybody else. So I don't see. I don't think it'll work. I think the best option they would have is Michael Frazier staying injured for the remainder of the season.
That's right.
And just bringing him in as a nominated injury replacement for that period of time. Now, this form on that. New Zealand have done that, haven't they? They had Chesson Randall come in for a period of time, and then before he became fully rostered. Melbourne United have done it in the past. Last year, I think they did it. So, yeah, I think that could be an option. But also then you're destroying chemistry trying to build Frazier up because he would then have to step in for the finals.
Yeah. My thought is it too late on Frazier? I don't think they're going to bring him back either. I think they've just – the Band-Aid is off. The Coke can is broken. You can't replace a Coke can lid, you know what I mean?
You reckon you don't reckon he'll step back in the team? I mean, I think the players would be okay with it. I think this is a schism between player and management, maybe.
This is interesting. This is the most – is this – I'll ask this question because we don't know about Frazier. Or certainly I don't. Is this an institutional failure by the Wildcats? Am I preempting a question you had, though?
You're spot on. Let's do it, because I was asking whether the Wildcats organization, are they slumping?
Totally. I think 100%. This is a total cock-up, and I'm reminded of when the Fremantle Dockers, another West Australian team – we're trying to get Heath Black on a transfer from, I want to say, the Brisbane Lions. This is 10 years ago. And this was a different circumstance where instead of – they didn't reach the deadline, not because of a Russian oligarch. They didn't reach the trade or sign deadline because someone just forgot to hit send on the fax.
We've all been there, haven't we?
We've all been there. In total defense of the Dockers at that time, we've all been there. However, this just reeks of – it's an institutional failure for me because you knew – we were talking about them making a move on Frazier three months ago.
Yeah, 2-3 months ago. Yeah, spot on.
Four games into the season.
Yep.
If you knew you were going to do it, then you had to put your big balls on the table. Mm-hmm. White McCuncher. Put them on the table and just make the move. And there was pussyfooting around, and it's cost them big time, and it reeks of immaturity. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. It's they left it all to the last minute, and they didn't need to. This was clearly a problem. Everybody saw it coming. Now, granted, you can make the argument that there were no valid player, you know, no worthy players until this dude popped up. But surely there would have been, they would have had to have had some list of potential players, and they chose not to make a move until the very last minute. Very risky. I just think it was poor form.
I agree.
And then what's made it worse in terms of my other thoughts about the organization slumping, then you had the coach on the defensive, you know, trying to not answer the questions, which then fed into the players all just seemed to lack motivation over these last two games. Like, there was a certain level of body language that I thought I was reading into the team, like they were a bit fatigued from the whole thing as well.
Totally.
Yeah, and then today, Kevin White came out and spoke really well in a Wildcats press conference. That's what Scott Morrison should have said last week. You know, it was just
silly. What did he say, Kevin White? I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, he talked about the fact that, you know, they've got John Brown still training with them, that both he and Mike Frazier have been super professional about the whole thing. They don't know as players, like, what's going on, but they're relying on management to sort that out. And as a playing group, they're just, their job is to win games, go out and play if they're chosen to play and win games. Mm. And that's it, you know? And it was just really candid and forthright. And it's like, why didn't Scott Morrison just say that a week ago? And that would have ended up, he ends up, you know, blasting Jackson in the press conference. All that blew. And that just reeks of, people losing their cool, you know. It's just unprofessional.
Let's go into Morrison a bit because it was so interesting, both his coaching style and that conference. Let's start with the conference. But before we do that, I just want to say with the John Brown thing, people commenting on it, just try and avoid calling it the Brown loophole. I think that's really important. Scott Morrison, what's interesting about that premise, I totally stand with Jackson McDonald, and I've spoken to him since. Jackson's a really good guy. He hit a nerve. He asked the perfect question at the perfect time.
Yep.
It's had a huge effect on Morrison and the Wildcats. Pardon me. But here's what I'd say to Scott Morrison. I thought, I quite like Scott Morrison. He's got a good turn of phrase and quite funny, but often people that sort of say they're very funny and da-da-da have a very brittle sense of humor themselves. And this kind of came through here where, number one, at any time, Scott Morrison could have said, listen, I'm done with these questions. We're not getting rid of Michael Frazier. If the Wildcats get rid of Michael Frazier, they may as well get rid of me as head coach as well. If you felt that strongly about it, You know, if it's like, oh, we're all busting our ass, okay, well, put your neck on the line.
Yeah.
You know, they call it the Red Army. And, you know, you never leave a good soldier behind. Well, you know, he was only too ready to cut him. So that pisses me off, just that hypocrisy there. Secondly, with Morrison, I think he has greatly misjudged or been misguided about how many people engage with his team outside the Wildcat bubble. You know, the NBL is not partitioned like the NBA, which is where he's come from most recently, where there's coach, GM, media, whole bunch of people around the team. Yes, you're the coach of a popular team in the Wildcats, but it's still Australia's sixth most popular domestic sports product in total. This is not the NBA, the world's third most revenue-driving enterprise. It's all hands on decks. And, you know, boo-hoo, if you answered 8 minutes of irritating questions in a day. Most people work eight hours in a day at a job they hate. So I really resented that. And the idea that, oh, I'm the coach, I don't deal with that. It's like, you're a long way from the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
You know? And it really pissed me off. I really disliked it. And, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I've actually got a question of you, because talking about press conferences, you mentioned something about maybe some rules being set in the last press conference.
Oh, yeah.
Did you want to talk about that?
I do. So in the press conference after, so obviously Morrison goes crazy, and then after the loss to Tasmania, or was it Tasmania or the – no, Kings. Loss to the Kings.
Yep.
I don't think it was the NBL. I think it was a media manager of the Wildcats. Comes out and says, we're not answering any questions about Frazier and John Brown and all that sort of stuff. And I'm not here saying, oh, my God, the integrity of the press has been whatever. I'm not doing that. This is an NBL press conference. This is not Ukraine. This is not whatever. This is a Woodward and Bernstein sitting in the presser. But I'm very much like, don't press the red button. I'm going to press the red button. My regret is not asking the question regardless. I should have done it just to see the reaction. But I didn't. I copped out. Punked out.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good look. Also, so unnecessary. We're talking about signing a player here. It is really important to that game. You know, the Perth Sydney, it was very important to the start of that game.
Yeah.
For sure. They wanted him. He wasn't available. The turmoil of that. Then you got to set a list. And then they come out and had the first quarter they did. So it was highly relevant. They laid an egg. It was highly relevant. And then to be not asked not to do it, I was about to, John, just leave the press, but I hung around and asked him. Absolutely garbage question, but you know, what did you think about them doing that? I thought it was peculiar.
Again, that just says to me that you're already on the defensive. You're on the back foot about this already, and you're tentative. Like, if you feel like you've got, I mean, they brought the guy in, right? So they obviously recognize a need, but you're not going to talk about it. Because it might, I don't know why, it might upset the coach or it might upset Michael Frazier. They'll know what's going on. Everybody knows what's going on. It's like, it's not a secret at that point. Talk about it because it's meaningful, and it's meaningful to the psychology of players. We spend so much time talking sports psychology these days and stuff. Having this clouding the player's preparation for a week, it's going to have an effect. So to just blow it off or pretend it's not there, it's pathetic.
It is pathetic is a good word. And to be like, oh, I'm going to hide behind, like, you can't ask me that. I'm going to hide behind. Like, come on. I liked Scott Morrison. I still quite like him. This was a bad showing from him, though.
Yeah.
And I think he's adjusting from coming from the Boston Celtics, where it's your own little bubble. And, you know, now you're in Australia where, no offense, man, it's not.
Yeah.
This is not the average player on your team is not on $4.9 million, which is the average NBA wage. So you got guys in your team on, well, some DPs would be on 30K, 40K, you know, and some min players on 60K, Australian dollars. So, it reeked of ego, displaced ego, and I didn't like it. And I felt bad for Jackson, but he's the hero of this. He asked the question. I've spoken to Jackson since, and I just said, hey, you stuck your neck out for content and you created a huge buzz. It was mentioned in commentary. It was mentioned in articles and everything. My one thing is, if you're going to quote Jackson on something he's done, say Jackson McDonald from...
Don't call him the reporter.
Yeah, get his name. And secondly on that is Scott Morrison, pick up the phone and call Jackson. Pick up the phone. Like you and apologize in person. Don't submit to the NBL. Da, 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 da. You've got 5 minutes out of your day to not even apologize. Just to say, yeah, I did what I did. This is what I said. If you want to apologize, sure. But you've scolded a guy. Have a chat. Move on. You know, that's the classy thing to do. And don't do it by proxy. Don't get the media guy to do it on your behalf. Pick up the effing phone and fucking chemical. That's what I'd do if I flamed a colleague.
Yeah, you know,
I've done that. It hasn't worked out well when I've spoken to some people. You were saying so.
I was going to say, there's another way that he could get in touch if he can't pick up the phone. He could jump on the NBL Pocket Podcast Discord.
That's great. That's a great segue. That tickled me. Shameless.
The NBL Pocket Podcast Discord is throwing Joe. It's throwing Joe the technophobe for a loop. He doesn't quite understand what's going on. It's like dealing with Grandpa Simpson.
It's like you're at a party. There's eight people in a circle chatting about something, and they're all laughing. And then occasionally, every 5 minutes, one person in the circle will feel compelled to say something, even though they're like 10 steps behind, and I'll come in and chime in with something. Yeah, I feel bad. Sorry, Discorders. I don't know what I'm doing.
Look, it's really good. Basically, it's imagine Twitter. It's like Twitter chat, but with only basketball stuff. And it's fun. People share information, news, a little bit of chat. There's different channels you can talk to. So, and if you're a Patreon member of the NBL Pocket Podcast, you get special super secret channels you can talk to. You get special recognition next to your name so we know who you are.
Nudes. You get to see my brown loophole.
You do. You can, like, there's little stickers for both your head and my head. That's pretty impressive. Yeah.
That scared me. I log onto this thing for the first time in a long time, see my ugly mug. I thought, I don't want to be a part of it.
And look, I got to give a big, huge vote of thanks to Mr. Shadow Stalker. His username on the Discord. And I think he goes by that on Twitter as well, I think. he has just taken it upon himself to take this thing to a new level. So I knew the very basics of Discord. Like I use it for some other stuff. But, you know, adminning a Discord thing was a bit new to me. He has just taken on board and run with it. And so big thank you to Mr. Shadow Stalker for all the good work.
Totally.
So join in. There'll be links in the show notes. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Weren't there, Joe?
No, I mentioned last week and there wasn't. Sorry about that, everyone. There will be. Can we take it back to the tweets? Well, that was great about Discord.
Oh,
we
sorry, tweets. Tweets. Sorry, I thought we had finished the tweets.
One last quick one. No, it was great. Black Pearl, Cal Bruton.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of called out the basketball show. So I didn't actually watch the video in question, but there was a video from the basketball show, and this is what Cal writes. You have a lot of nerve, Hammer, Shane Heal, host of the show, calling out the only two black coaches in the NBL as the two biggest, quote-unquote, disappointments to you this season. And then a shrug emoji. Yeah. What about the two bottom teams on the ladder? Ford and Shamir get a pass. Look at CJ's roster and tell me what you see. What do you think of your reaction to that?
I thought he played the racism card a little too soon. Mm-hmm. That's a quick leap to claim that. Now, I haven't seen the quote. I can't be bothered with that show, to be perfectly honest. Don't get me wrong, I don't hold Shane Heal's views in particularly high regard anyway. So, I don't know what he, I mean, obviously the point he's making is those coaches haven't really performed well. Cal is obviously jumping to the defense of his son.
Yeah.
So let's call that what it is. And I think, well, I think CJ maybe has been. I actually think CJ's done okay.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. So, I think one of the best things he's done is bench his imports.
Well, that's what the game they just won, we'll talk about it some more later on. But that he had his fingerprints all over that win. Like, it was very strategic, that win. We'll talk about it some more, but I agree with you on that one. Yeah, benching the imports and a few other measures they took.
Yeah. But, yeah, I would think James Duncan, I would call him a disappointment too, because I think this Brisbane Bullets team was primed for more success than they could have had.
I
just think he's not delivered.
I disagree in a way with that on James Duncan. We slammed him a couple of weeks ago. The injuries, they lost their best player in Sobey and point guard. They were, when they were healthy, they looked quite good. We were praising them. So now I'm coming off the discredit James Duncan bandwagon. When they were healthy, they were good. And I look to that. I think the Patterson's lack of endurance is starting to show again, unfortunately.
Yep.
Sobey being missing massive, and their total lack of bench. There's not a guy not on a minimum contract on that bench. And we'll talk about the loss to whoever they lost to. It doesn't really matter. But we'll talk about that some more later on. There's just the lack of talent there, and they still kind of eke out some games and were fun for a while. No, and I don't think anyone – it's hard to say who's – one of the coaches or one of the circumstances the most disappointing is Southeast Melbourne.
Yeah.
Because they've got relative health. They lost Brokoff, but he's a big piece, but not Asobi.
Yep.
And they are losing games that they really, like when it's real nutted out, got to win them, and they're losing them. And yes, they've lost Chi and a few others, but I feel like their rosters are far superior to Brisbane. Would I be alone in saying that? Mitch Creek and Munford and so on and so forth. So that to me is, and some of their late game situational stuff has been like, whoa, you just lost on that play and there's no reason for it. So I hate to put Simon Mitchell in that category, but I think he's worth talking about.
Yeah, no, that's a fair call. I think
But I'd love to get Cal on the show and talk about race and basketball in Australia. It's a weird little thing.
Yeah. Let's move on. Yeah. I just think it's disappointing that I really hope it wasn't racially.
Oh, likewise.
Driven, and I hope, and it's sad that came up because I don't know, I don't measure the coaches in that way, and I hope others don't either. You know, it's like they're people, they're people.
And you know, Shane Heal and Ruck is the co-host, who's who's African American, and then Hammer's played in the NBA. You just don't get 5-year race. I thought that was a little off base, but I'd really love to speak to Cal, in person, make that happen. Let's talk about the games that were, and. Go from there, or unless there's something else.
No, games that were the whole round of upsets.
Round of upsets. Let's start with the New Zealand Brisbane game. 3 threes from Brisbane in the last 14 seconds of overtime won it for them. Drew Mix most dramatically.
Yeah.
What was McDowell White thinking? What was he? I know what he was thinking, but I would have thought something different.
Yeah, he missed the what I presume was an open man in was Abercrombie, wasn't it? It was just sort of prior to half court, seemed to be fairly alone. Also, the thing that surprised me, he didn't run the baseline.
True.
He just sort of anchored himself where the ref gave him the ball. And I think he was allowed to run at that point. And I sort of feel like he was mentally boxed in, couldn't see a passing line.
He was even under the backboard, I think, kind of.
Yeah, so if he just run the baseline, would have maybe freed it up, or at least made the defense adjust a little bit more.
You don't suppose this was like when Wesley rode the train out to Watts and got played by Sydney? Was he missing his jump shot? His jump shot was good. I don't know what happened. Like, McDowell White kind of threw this one. Franks 30-12, Wetzel 23-10. This was played in front of ESPN's Mike Schmitz, who's a scout and everything. Big games from them. Wetzel puts up numbers. I don't know if Wetzel guards anyone though.
Look, Wetzel's great in the NBL, but I don't see him as an NBA guy.
Europe for sure.
Yep.
Europe for sure. He's got great hands. He'd love it. Set and picks, get a catch.
Yep. He's sort of John Mooney-ish, who's now in Japan. But that sort of guy, I think, really good in an international competition somewhere.
But, yeah, they're porous on the points in the paint. I mean, it was an issue even at Southeast Melbourne just in his first pro year, but points in the paint in this game, 54-28. Wow. The Bullets beat up on the Breakers Kiwi. Let's jump on.
Yep.
Perth, Tasmania. This was wild. What a game this was. 83-85. Tasmania win it.
Yep.
How? My question. How with a question mark?
Endeavor. Focus. Mm-hmm. Attention to detail.
Are you describing Wildcats basketball or the Jack?
Well, it's basically Wildcats B team, so there's a lot of Wildcats DNA attached to that team.
Oh, man. The Tasmania came in and played Wildcat basketball, quote unquote, by proxy and beat the new administration.
Yep.
Scott Roth he'd be very pleased with this.
Oh, as he should be. That was excellent. Showing. And I mean, it started off with Fabian Krzyzlewicz just beasting inside. Now, if I'm the Perth Wildcats and Krzyzlewicz is destroying me on the inside, you got some big man problems. Wow.
And what I'll say is, go on.
And then it carried on towards the end of the game, Majet and name escapes me. Oh my gosh, Josh Adams. They just got going and, stuck the dagger in.
I'll say this, Perth didn't lose it. The Jack Jumpers won it. It was legit. It wasn't just Perth shot Paul in whatever. They got taken out of their stuff. They got beaten on the glass. Key stats, all in favor of the Jackies. Offensive rebounds and second chance points, plus 15. Turnovers, 4-10 in favor of Jack Jumpers. Steal 6-1. Offensive rebounds, 18 to the Jack Jumpers, 8 to Perth, plus 10.
Yep.
So it's just brutal. And you also, the Jack Jumpers were allowed to beat up on Vic Law. Roth knows it. The NBL refs are not particularly, they're a little bit short-sighted. Law, 16 points, 42%. He got beat up badly. Could have rolled an ankle, I remember, or got kind of hurt. Brutal. I'll say this, role players under Morrison have regressed. I think I put out a tweet that the Wild cast, C-A-S-T, yes, has been reduced to total background extras. White, Majuk, Hodgson. Hodgson was an impactful player at Brisbane. He is a shell of himself. Been hurt and suspended. Blah. Travers is not what he was. Had a decent game in one of these games on the weekend. Yep. Wagstaff is not having the year.
He started off good, Wagstaff. He's faded.
But unsurprisingly, Cotton and Law having great seasons under the star player centric, seemingly.
Yep.
Morrison, but he needs more out of the Australian contingent.
Yep.
It's not happening.
And do you know how you get good play out of, you know, supporting cast is you need to have a structure that they understand. They can't just go one on one and get their own. They don't have that level of talent. But they need something like, yeah, something maybe akin to a flex offense or something like that. You know, probably do the trick.
A few quick hitters. But I asked the question, it was a very bumbling question to Scott Morrison. I don't think it was after this game, it was after the next one, but rebounding, why are they rebounding down? And his answer actually pissed me off. Again, a lot of his answers are pissing us off. He just said, oh, when I find five guys that want to do it and want to do this, and I was like, nah, that's BS to me. Bobby Fischer, the great chess player, became chess master in 1976 over Boris Spassky. Unfortunately, was a Jewish man who then became an anti-Semite, a little bit of a nutcase. But he did say one piece of good advice. He said, I don't believe in psychology. I believe in good moves. And I'm sick of Scott Morrison kind of saying, oh, this is psychology. This is on the guys, and that's why we're not rebounding. That's BS. Mm. It's something structural. It's something to do with a good or bad move. And when you say, oh, these guys aren't rebounding, I was like, what are you talking about? Most of the guys you've got, sans John Mooney, who was a huge part of it, I'll wear that. However, a lot of guys on this roster have been a part of a team that's played the best defense and been the best rebounding team for a decade. Mm. Wagstaff, most among them. Majuk's been around. Hodgson was a good rebounder, but not a walker. Kevin White. You know, so Travers last year was a rebounding
Blanchfield
beast.
Blanchfield was there.
Blanchfield, Cotton, obviously. But, you know, the role players know how to rebound. There's something structural where they're not in position to grab an offensive rebound or a defensive one. So I don't believe in psychology. I don't think the Wildcats have just gone, we don't feel like rebounding anymore. There's something there. That's what I think.
Anyway, good win, Jack Jumpers. Love it. And then they backed up and beat Brisbane, flew across the country and did it again. So well done, Jackies. That was quite the performance as well.
I got a funky stat for you, Andrew Canyon.
What's that?
I'm going to give you two stat lines and you tell me which one you prefer. 17.2 points per game, 43% from the field, 38% from 3-point, or 18.4 points, 38%, 34% from the outside.
I think I've gone with the first one. It's a lot of numbers, but
a lot of numbers. That was 17 points and the percentages are about 5 or 6 percentage points higher. That they're per 36 numbers, and the person you've chosen is Clint Steindl, and the person you've chosen him over is Chris Golding.
Oh, my.
They're per 36. I mean, Steindl was really good in this game.
He's attacking the rim.
And attacking, dunking it, shooting it. I've always been a huge Steindl fan, and he is Golding on a beer batter budget. I would assume Golding's on a couple of hundred K.
I would maybe more. Expect that to be the case.
If Norton's on 400K, then come on, Golden. So he's on good. I think Stein will be a lot cheaper and moved, and the Wildcats cast him off.
I know.
Crazy. So, you know, he's playing really good basketball and he's catching it, shooting it, feels healthy, feels good. I've always been a huge fan, and those numbers, they're per 36 numbers. I think they illustrate that.
Yep. Yep. Now with him and McVay both cooking, Jack Jumpers are looking really good. Real credit to their coaching staff. They're giving their players, like I said with the Wildcats a minute ago, putting them in position to be productive.
I want to say they can't make the finals, can they? Jack Jumpers, there's a really good article by Liam Santa Maria. I've read half of it on NBL.com. Go and check it out about the run home of these teams, whether they can make it or not. It's a good informative read.
Yeah, look, I'm not putting them in the top four, but
no.
At this point, they have already exceeded all our expectations. And congratulations already. Yeah. What a great season.
They may as well change their name from the Jack Jumpers to the Bad Bananas, because you put them in the bowl and they just sour all the teams around them. Perth, they've corrupted. Melbourne, they've beaten all the top.
That's right.
They're bad. The Bad Bananas. Let's move on to this game. Cairns versus South East Melbourne. South East Melbourne won this one predictably. I just want to make one point.
Yep.
This was amazing. I actually stood up from my couch and saluted and shed a tear that then flew off. It turned into a canary and flew off. Ruben Turungi signed a two-year extension. First shot out, airball. I just thought, that's fantastic. That's like going to your boss, being like, I want a raise, getting the raise, and then showing up like the next day. My credo is get as much money for as little work as you get. And I stood up. I stood up on my couch. I gave a slow clap like the end of one of those Ringwall movies. What's her name? The redhead.
Molly Ringwald.
Molly Ringwald. I just slow clapped and then saluted. I thought that was fantastic.
Oh, brilliant. Nothing.
Let's jump on.
Nothing more needs to be said about that game.
Nothing more. You mentioned this one, Brisbane, Tasmania. Yep. Tasmania won it in a close one, but the scoreline is a bit misguided. I just want to make this point. The renaissance of Anthony Drimmick, tip of the cap, 20-some points, look great, but where do you
sit hard on Drimmick? I've been hard on Drimmick. I've never been a huge fan of his. I've always thought he's overrated. Always thought he was a bit of a knob. You know, I admit that. But he has turned it up. All credit to him. Like he almost stole another game. He was just an impressive performance.
Yeah, he was fun. But just tried really, really hard.
Yep.
And it worked out. And same with Adelaide later in the round, which we're talking about. I just want to talk about this. Lamar Patterson, are we looking at sort of roster construction next season? Because their season's obviously done. Lamar Patterson, are you bringing him back? Money aside, are you bringing him back?
No.
If you any team, are you looking at him as a, he to me is now, or he could fill our
Cairns.
Third roster.
Send him to Cairns.
That's a classic maneuver. And I'll say this, 39th in PER, which puts him around Kai Soto,
wow,
Brokoff, Blanchfield, decent players, like still productive, but he's their top line import. My problem is his defense. He is getting headhunted. Guys are going, oh, great, switch on to Patterson, clear out, here we go. Not a good look. From 22 points per game in NBL 22 years ago to 17 points per game on some pretty paltry percentages, 45 and 29 from three.
Yeah.
Just, I liked him in a couple of years ago, and I love his style. He's kind of sleeky, but he's now gone from, you know, top line import, Cotton, Vic Law, that era, to down the line to like second, third import slot. And his season, those numbers would reflect that. I don't think I'm saying anything out of school.
I don't think he's – I think he's probably hit that point of his career where it's not turning around. Like, this is who he is now.
Mm-hmm.
Not a guy you want to have as your marquee franchise kind of import.
Yeah. If you want to win, which that's right. Brisbane are not. Brisbane bench, 17 points combined compared to the Jack Jumpers, 31. Brisbane are hurt and there's no one to back them up. Wigness, Moss, Krebs, the big Chinese guy, Liu, all bad. Deng Deng, the one routine exception. It's a bad...
Not much going on there.
Much. Let's jump onto the big game of the round. Perth, Sydney. Sydney winning this big 80-102. You watched it. Were you there? No.
No, I didn't go. I stayed at home for this one. And probably
what do you think?
Genius decision of mine. God, insipid performance from Perth, but oh my god, the Sydney Kings. I've never seen a team I probably have at some point, but I can't remember the last time I saw a team shoot that well. Like, it was just, the ring was like a hula hoop and they were all just lobbing it in. Ian Clark comes in off the bench. I can't believe that guy's coming off the bench. Like, geez, and he just like, fine, I'll just hit some threes. Then they have McCurr coming in. Look, the Wildcats are giving me 3 meters of space. I might as well just hit that three.
Oh, and then the dunk in the key to end the first quarter.
What do you think is going to happen? Wow, that was.
He had no one near him. He could have pump faked like five times before someone even got close. Really bad from Perth.
Yeah. But Sydney, I don't want to take it away from Sydney. I like Perth played rubbish, but Sydney were really good. And I want to give them heaps and heaps of credit because they were awesome. And I'm sick of this, like, there's too much I've seen on Twitter. There's always back and forth going on about the bloody championship from 2 years ago and people defend. So forget all that. Forget all that. Move on. Right now, the Sydney Kings are bloody good. And just, like, Perth people accept that. And Sydney Kings, take it with some grace. that you're good. I forget about 2 years ago. Can we just move on?
Exactly. And take it with some – and I think the thing is the headline could be playoff team loses big at home under a deluge of threes in the first quarter. I could be describing this game. I could be describing when Melbourne beat up on Sydney a while ago. Are you – I'll phrase it in a question. Are you waving a white or is there red flags, white flags at the Wildcats? What do you think?
Oh, there's yellow flags, perhaps. There's some warning signs. There's some caution flags out there. Slow down, you know, do a safety lap, figure out what's going wrong and put some new tires on and get back on the track. All right. There's some mixed metaphors for you. Teams have bad losses.
I'm not that scared about the Wildcats, and I think I'm alone in that. But here's what I'll say. In that loss to Melbourne in December at Kudos Bank Arena, what was the score in that one? 47-89. Mm. Melbourne United nailed 14 of 36 threes. Most of them would have been in the first quarter or first half. Has shot 39%. In this one, the Kings nailed 15 of 30 from the outside. That is otherworldly shooting. That's not a result of, as you said, that's not a result of poor Wildcats defense. Maybe a
couple of them were.
That's very true. But that is an otherworldly percentage. And that 15 of 30 is over the whole game. That they were something like, you know, 8 of 10 in the first quarter or something. It's crazy. And I think I made the tweet a little while ago where in the early 90s, there was a weightlifter, the 400 pound or maybe 400 kilo clean and jerk plateau was thought no human being could lift that amount of weight above their head. Mm-hmm. And then a guy from the UK lifts it above his head. And then within, this was a plateau, a benchmark of weight that had not been lifted in ever and thought impossible. And then thereafter, the record just kept changing hands. People kept hitting over 400 pounds. And the Jack Jumpers did it. They lifted it clean and jerk, threw it down, and then the Sydney Kings got high off those fumes and went in. So I'm not red flagging the Wildcats. I still think they're the best offensive team in the NBL, but they have to work out. It's obvious they have to work out something there. Mm. Here's the case. That's the case for the Wildcats, right? And also, no Mitch Norton. And I think that game that Sydney lost in Melbourne, they were without Adams, maybe, or he'd just come back. Mm. I really can't recall. But, you know, Sydney shot 50% from the outside. They shoot 33 on the season. You take that away, that's 12 points. This is an 8-point game. Mm. So I'm not – and Perth shot 17%. They looked really, really bad.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Here's the case against the Wildcats, though. Defensive rebounding was, again, SHIT. And is there a remedy without John Brown?
Mm. No. Well, I mean, they can try harder. But, you know – and what so much of rebounding is effort. So there's that. I'm not predicting it'll turn around there. They just got to outscore teams at that point.
Mm, But Mitch Norton, do you think he brings that, the defense comes up a bit enough? I mean, he would have been on Adams.
Yeah.
Adams killed him in the first quarter. And once you get down by that much, then you're like, oh, we'll double the three. And then you give up dunks and yeah, it's kind of over from there. It's like that loose thread on a sweater. It just keeps getting worse. So does Mitch Norton pave the cracks for you?
He makes a big difference. It makes it competitive, and it just becomes a competitive game then. And so, look, I still think they need help on the board. A team with Hodgson and Majuk in its front line are going to win the championship, I wouldn't have believed that.
This is what I said at the time. Everyone was like, Hodgson, Wildcats, oh, they cheated. You know, he was saying he was going to Europe and he signs in Perth. I was like, he is no guarantee of anything.
No.
Not at all, because he's not that robusty, power forward, John Mooney type who can stretch the floor a little bit. Bad recruiting, Wildcats, institutional fail.
Anyway, we've spent enough time with the Wildcats. Let's move on.
Adelaide, Southeast Melbourne, 36ers. This one needs to be discussed. 100-92, Adelaide win it. Would you call this a shock?
I would. Yes, I was shocked. My tipping proves it. Didn't see this coming.
What did you make of it? Did you see this game?
I only saw pieces of it.
All right.
This was a busy family day for me on this day, so I wasn't able to.
I'll say this.
Couch time.
Tarangi, getting a bit of a hammering. Apologies. Negative 31 on the floor. Plus minus negative 31. That's
not good.
That's otherworldly. Ashley, only 12 minutes, got in foul trouble, and in the absence of Joe Chi, who they've missed. We kind of rag on Joe Chi. They've missed him.
Yeah, gives some structure. And gives Ashley a bit more of a known, you know, he can step into the game rather than starting, which I think helps him.
When Jochi is used in the right circumstance, I've actually been shocked at, the chasm that he's left behind, for sure. So Ashley only played the 12 minutes. You know who looked dangerous? Cam Glidden. 8 points, 2 steals, plus 24 in the plus minus. He looked really good.
There we go. It's a steal of a line from Bill Simmons, the corpse of Cam Glidden.
To the absolute credit of the 36ers, SEM were weak inside without Ashley and obviously Jochi.
Yep.
And they went at it. They only shot 19 threes on the game. They racked up 31 free throw attempts, which was way disproportionate from the Phoenix, and then scored 50 points in the paint. They holstered the 3-point shot knowing that there was better on offer. And that I tip my cap to CJ Brewton. We were talking about this. This is the most, and he benched those imports who were playing kind of poorly, and he still got 10 points out of Hannah's off the bench. It was quite an achievement.
Yep. 10 points in 12 minutes. Like 12 minutes for your vaunted starting guard. Like, whew. And then Todd Withers, 13 minutes. So yeah, he's moved on from them. He knows they're not coming back next season, and let's see what the Aussies can deliver.
Mm. And like Dufelmeyer looked patient with it. McCarron was real good. I don't know what Southeast Melbourne's plan on Daniel Johnson was. They were just content to let him catch it where he wanted, make his moves. I was mystifying. Really surprised. Anything else from this one? Move on?
No, move on. Like
Melbourne Illawarra. Melbourne Illawarra.
Illawarra back. They're back.
Won
baby.
Every quarter, Andrew. Just first quarter, won it. Second, third, fourth. They kind of dominated this team.
See, this is lucky for Melbourne that Perth got pantsed by Sydney. Otherwise, this would be a bigger talking point than it is, because they got made to look bad by the Illawarra.
Really bad. Really bad. And we talked about it. You know, Dellavedova in the last time Melbourne won in Illawarra, he had 33. Well, you know, he needed a decent scoring game. You knew they were going to leave him on an island offensively.
Yep.
Didn't happen. 8 points, 30%. Turned the ball over 4 times. Him and Illy combined for one of the worst stat lines. They were both like, I think it was 10 points, 4 of 15, and then, you know, 6 turnovers when they've been killing it. They got outplayed. They got severely and defensively. 77 points for Melbourne, and then, you know, 92 in reverse. Yep. They got beaten at every turn. Yep. Yeah. What were you?
Well, too much athleticism. Cleveland was just carving them up.
Massive dunks. I remember clipping Harvey up for ESPN. Harvey played good.
Yeah,
are you worried about Melbourne?
Nah. It's the same as Perth, right? Yeah, have a bad loss occasionally, and you're like, well, learn from that, move on. They're too well coached. They're too well coached to be in total trouble at this point. I think it's just, you know, if it was best of three series, you know, somebody's going to win it 2-1, you know. So I'm not stressing out for Melbourne's sake.
Is that the difference between the two, Perth and Melbourne? I think it is. Melbourne have got Vickerman, good relationship with management, long-standing management, pretty calm coach. He goes off on the court, but in press conferences, just stone-faced.
Yep.
And they play defense. They're actually polar opposite teams. Mercurial coach over on the West.
Yep.
Solid coach.
And I would say Melbourne. Melbourne probably play a more typically NBL style basketball.
Totally.
You know, what we're used to seeing in the NBL. Perth are trying to run a NBA light. So yeah, it'd be interesting.
And there's a very good book out there which is informed my thinking on this one. It's called The Numbers Game. It's by economists Chris Anderson and David Sally. And there's a really good podcast by, here you go, Scott Morrison, fellow Canadian, Malcolm Gladwell, on the subject, Revisionist History, Season 1, Episode 6, entitled My Little 100 Million. And it's about weak link, strong link, where basketball is a strong link sport. If you have a star player, you're going to win. Whereas soccer, if you have a very, very weak link, they may turn over a goal and a 1-0 game, you know, they'll cost you more. So it's more impactful and beneficial in soccer to improve your bottom line talent, whereas basketball, your top line talent. And the Wildcats did that. They've got Vic Law and Cotton, by far the best imports duo in the NBL. Whereas Melbourne did the opposite. They have Dellavedova, Gold, like guys who were good, but not Cotton, not Law, and Agata, and so on. They've improved their bottom line where they've got way better depth and a few other things. So people who are interested, check that out. We're seeing a real nice little science experiment between the two teams.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how it plays out. But yeah, Illawarra looking good and just stabilised, just sort of reaffirmed their position in that top four with that win. So good result for them.
If I gave you money to bet, would you be betting on Melbourne to still win first place or Illawarra to definitely make the four? What do you feel more certain of?
Illawarra to make the four.
I agree. Even though their run home is much harder, I have no faith.
No, the top top spot's a bit of a raffle. You know,
You think Sydney?
No, I think Melbourne will still get number one spot, but I don't think it enough to bet against Illawarra making the four.
Yeah, that's true. I think there's no – I just am so certain of Illawarra making it, and it's going to look so bad for Southeast Melbourne. They don't make the finals after making it last year. It's a step back for them as a organization. I don't want to see it happen for that reason.
I would say jumping you're sort of out of the round now, but I would say that my top four, if I had to go now, would be Melbourne, then Sydney, then Perth, then Illawarra. That's how I would guess it will play out without looking at the fixtures and doing the maths.
You know what I feel worst about in this whole round and everything is the fact that for Chase Buford to know that we said that Sydney can't win in Perth, it meant someone had to listen to the podcast from the Sydney Kings. So whoever that is from the staff, how you doing? Good to see you. Let's move on. Round 18. This is the last thing we're going to do. Games worth a damn next round. All right. Get your calendars out. Set them. I've got three that I think are worth watching. How many do you have?
Okay. Yeah, I think I've got three as well. Probably the same three.
Go your first one.
The rematch, Melbourne Illawarra back at John Cain Arena. It'd be really interesting to see how they bounce back, Melbourne. Could be anybody's game. I think I'll tip Melbourne.
Same. They're not going to. I think they split those. Illawarra, it's kind of like a little bit job done, splitting the games with Melbourne, but I don't think they can win twice in Melbourne. If they did, I'd be really impressed. Really impressed. And it means they're in the four almost.
Yep.
My next game that I've got of worth is on Sunday, April 3rd at 2 o'clock here on the East Coast.
Yep.
Tasmania, Sydney. In Tasmania, do you have interest in that?
That's my second one, yep. Yep.
What do you think's going to happen?
I think Sydney will win.
It's so Jack Jumpery to kill this streak, isn't it?
I hope it happens just because, it is exactly that. Jack Jumpers. I want to see Scott Roth do some more celebrations.
They can't win it, can they?
No, they can't, but they've not been able to win many games this season that they've won, so...
Is there any issue with the Kings where they're peaking at the wrong time? They've won 9 straight or something, 8 or 9 straight.
They're just rolling. Like, they're just in their confidence spot. They'll win this one. Don't worry.
Can Jalen Adams win MVP?
Jarrell Martin's going to take him. Who's going to stop Jarrell Martin?
I think Cooks and Martin, if you're a betting person, combined for 20 points and 20 rebounds, I think that's pretty certain.
Yep.
Can Jalen Adams win the MVP? He missed a lot of games.
He missed a lot, but, geez, making up for lost time. Playing really well. Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember how they do it. Do they do it based on game by game? It's not like Brownlow, is it?
No, yeah, it's media do it.
So he could, definitely could win it then.
I mean, they couldn't do it round by round. Remember when Bogut won it? All right, let's go to this one. Monday, April, the next game. I've jumped the gun. Have you got the same one as me?
I think we're going to be the same. Yeah. Take it away.
And what's great is Monday night game. Fantastic.
Love it.
Monday, April 4th, 10:30 here on the East Coast, Perth, Melbourne, at RAC Arena. What a...
The fortress of RAC Arena.
Oh, dearie me. Who wins? Why? Let's talk about it.
Perth win. Only because they'll be fired up and will be so determined not to have a third L at home. And Melbourne are playing at, the physical, 10:30 at night time for them after a flight and a previous game. Their Saturday against Illawarra, flying to Perth for a Monday game, giving it to Perth.
I have one question, and this determines my pick. Is Mitch Norton playing?
Don't know.
If he's playing, they win. If he's not, I really think if he's not playing, they could lose again.
Is John Brown playing?
No. Is Frazier playing? Imagine if Frasier. I kind of just hope for storyline. He comes on and plays. It's not going to happen though. We've just seen too much. There's too much water to go under the bridge. We know what Frasier is when he's in combination with the Wildcats.
So you're not saying that Frasier's going to come out and score a 30 piece? And
I'm saying I would like him to, but we're at 20 some games in the season or however many through we are, 2021. It's no, the writing is. But I think if Norton plays, they win, and if Norton doesn't play, they lose. So.
Okay.
We'll be in touch. Be in touch on that one.
There you have it.
I think that's everything.
That's a action-packed episode, my friend. I didn't think we had all that content in us, but there you go. You look at the clock and it's an hour in and, you know, it's all
what
it's
did
all
we
happened.
Do? We
I didn't even get in, to talk about ESPN's Mike Schmitz. Wow.
I'll do it quickly.
Oh, I was just going to say, that dude was everywhere. I don't know how he traveled around the country so fast. Checking out the local talent. Got to say, most of the players seem to step up when he was there. They played pretty well. Maybe Hook Porty didn't quite step up as much as he would have hoped, but I think everybody did a good job of showing them what they've got. So well done to the players.
Well done. And to Schmitz for making the distance. I think the other thing as well is I heard an interview with Rick Bucher, who's an ESPN basketball guy, and he said he was one of the big pushers at the time of Darko Milicic, the Serbian player who got sort of famously drafted second overall in a pretty good draft and didn't amount to very much.
Yep.
And he just said, listen, I went to Croatia and Serbia, you know, that little area, scouted a whole bunch of players. Everything was paid for, the finest meals, the finest wine, the finest company. And he came back and he was just high off those fumes. He's like, yeah. He barely even remembers watching him play. He's like, he's great. It's amazing. And I think Mike Schmitz, because he traveled so much distance, there may be a bit of jet lag involved, but I think he was well squired. And yep. I think he'll come back. They're all great. I had a great time.
Love the NBL.
Oh, gee. Hang on. Did I watch any games? Shit. Oh, well, whatever. Yeah. So bless him. But I don't know who's picking up the check, but plenty of movement from Mr. Schmitz. Good on him. All right, that's everything. Thanks very much. Discord. Hey, if you like the show, Patreon, we do appreciate that. There was a guy on Twitter who was like, yeah, I don't pay for the show. Suck my balls. I was like, Jesus Christ. But fair play to him. Patreon, Discord, the website. What else?
NBLpocketpodcast.com. Go to the website. Look at it. It's nice.
Look at it. Actually, that's exactly right. Go to it. Look at it. It's not much to do there, but look at it. Say how nice it is.
Actually, I need to put a link to our Discord on the website. Oh, my goodness. I'll give myself homework.
I'll do it in these show notes, I promise. I didn't do it last week. I made a mistake.
You can buy a book from Booktopia with a link.
Yep.
That gives money back in the kitty, which is always appreciated.
Speaking of which, just finished Body Nodge's book, A Type of Life. We'll get him on, and I think we'll do like a half talk about the book spliced with NBL and questions. I think that'd be fun.
There it is. And you can reach us on Twitter at MBL Pocket Pod or at Andrew Canyon, CANION.
And also listen to the MBL News podcast if you're really into it. Listen to Throwback Hoops. Listen to MBL Media. Just listen to them, even if just for a bit. Just give them the stats. And if I've forgotten the sports blokes, if I've forgotten anyone else, listen to every single thing because they're helps in the metrics.
It's all good stuff. We're all a community supporting the same sport, and this sport needs all the help it can get.
Oh, isn't that sweet? All right.
But listen to us first.